Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, my father's always taught me that you could be a man to yourself before man into anybody else. It is regarding the topic that I'm going to have with Dr. Philip Wades. He's the senior lecturer in criminology at University of New South Wales. And we're talking about, Australia needs to challenge male cultures to prevent pack violence. And Dr. Philip was talking about the early intervention can challenge toxic masculinity that may have led to the recent unprovoked knife attack on a man in Pyrmont. We have Dr. Philip on the line. Doctor, very good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So you're based down in Sydney, New South Wales, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Lovely. Like I said, I'm in far north Queensland in Cairns here with a pair of shorts and singlet on, ready to have a yarn with you. Didn't mean to torment you like
Fantastic.
That. So thank you for coming to the table. Look, a very important conversation. My father always said to me, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself, you know what I mean? Be a man to that man in the mirror sort of thing, you know? And look, a lot of our men need to check ourselves and change their way of thinking in regard to the 21st century as warriors. Sometimes we're not living up to that stature, is that right?
Yeah, well, I think there's probably, a lot to be unpacked in that. I mean, I think, you started off with talking about the way in which your father influenced or, was trying to shape the way you behave, and that's a really important part of what I was writing about in the piece that is the basis of our conversation today. So it's, a lot of it is about, challenging types of behaviour, and I think parents and family groups and lots of other community groups have a role to play in making sure that men are behaving in ways that don't lead to violence.
Well, exactly, and the sad thing is, monkey see, monkey do. A lot of us, a lot of the young boys look up to their fathers, their uncles and what have you, and sometimes they pick up that sort of bad habit or their actions, it could lead down the wrong path.
Oh, absolutely. There's lots of research out there about the way in which lots of violent behaviour can be learned and can be what we would call culturally transmitted through a range of different people. And of course, family are an incredibly powerful influence on the way in which, young people in particular behave. And so if they're seeing and witnessing and around people who are engaging in violent or antisocial behaviour, then again, that's likely to influence young people in the way in which they not only engage in that behaviour, but the way in which they regard that behaviour. So they don't see it as necessarily a problem if it's not being called out at those early stages of their life.
And then the other thing that comes into the equation are substances, whether it be alcohol or drugs, what have you, and that can have effect on a person's thinking and what's reality and what's good and what's bad and what have you. That causes a lot of dramas too, does it not?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the kind of key area of my research. I've done lots of research looking at drug and alcohol use and the way in which that can shape behaviour and lead to people engaging in violence. So there's a couple of aspects to this. There's obviously the individual effects of drugs and alcohol, the way in which they can, influence your cognition, so the way in which you make decisions. But I'm more kind of interested in the kind of cultural dynamics around drinking and drug use. So the way in which, when people go out, when I should say my research is probably focused more on young men, but when young men go out in groups, in nightlife areas, to pubs and clubs, they do so with, usually to have a good time, to have fun, but when they start drinking or if they're on under the influence of other substances, that can lead to, you know, types of behaviour that can be a bit showy, and that can often lead to the types of antisocial and aggressive behaviours that unfortunately we've seen in the case that I've written about.
Well, exactly. I had an uncle said to me one time that if a brother, as in a man, if a brother has been married four times, then boy, all four women can't be wrong, you know? Somewhere in your life, you've got to look at, that, like I said, that man in the mirror in regard to your actions and your statements. And you even look like a rugby league player. A coach wants that aggression on the field, but want controlled aggression in regard to, it can be a tool, so to speak, yeah?
Yeah, I think we've got to be careful in the way that we're speaking about, like, men, this whole notion that there is, you know, I completely agree with you that we don't want to always see masculinity as something that's toxic. There are really positive aspects to it, and I think we should be playing up to that. But I think when we talk about being a man, and unfortunately this has all these connotations of being tough, of being kind of dominating, and they're the things that can feed into these, the gendered dynamics of violence. So men feeling like they need to respond to, you know, slights or affronts that might occur in their daily life. You know, somebody looks at them the wrong way, or someone bumps into them, or somebody knocks over their drink at a pub. Mm. You know, these are the type of things that can lead people, when they've got that kind of misinformed idea about what it is to be a man, that can actually lead to violence. So we've got to be really careful about the way in which we construct these ideas about what it is to be a man.
Exactly. And probably, the upbringing, when you're correcting your son, you know, like, don't try, men don't try, and that sort of stuff, and they're pushing that sort of a man impression on a child, on a boy, and then states in his mind that, well I've got to be a man 24/7 and 7 days a week,
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is that kind of where that that sense of masculinity can be really informed. So if you're not, you know, if you're saying don't be a wuss or don't cry or don't do all those things, you know, like, that sets up this perspective in the mind of a young person that they must be hard all the time, that they, you know, can't be seen to be, well, what is perceived to be weak. I mean, emotion is not weak. Crying is not weak. There's nothing weak about it. In fact, in this current culture, you know, it's almost tougher to be able to show your emotions. So, you know, we need to start challenging those ideas that there's only one way to be a man, and that's because we know that can shape the way in which young men see the world and young men interact with the world.
Yes.
And if we're setting that up too strongly, then unfortunately, my research and the research of many others has shown that it can often be a really strong driving influence in their engagement in antisocial and violent behaviour.
Doctor, I've always thought that something like this, a topic like this, or education to this degree, I strongly believe it should be in a curriculum as an education, about loving that person in the mirror, being a true human being with emotions and what have you. It's not taught in school. If not taught at home, then where do they get it from, sort of thing, you know what I mean? By being the best you that you can be with a great attitude, you know, black or white, man or woman, you can have a good life.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's some programs that run in schools, but unfortunately there's nowhere near enough. And as you said, if it's not there, if it's not in the home, then you're relying on, you know, peer influences to bring that, bring that education to the fore. And again, if that's not present in communities, then you've got a real problem, because you've got an absence of any, cultural institution or group to really start challenging that behaviour. And so it is absolutely critical that we get, these type of education programs into as many of those locations as possible. And I suppose the easiest place to do that is through schools, but also through sporting organisations and community groups.
Well, the old phrase, beginning's half done, and we've begun the conversation here on radio, national radio, on First Nation radio station. So I thank you very much for sharing the idea and the concept and the problem that is out there. And all brothers need to take on board what we're talking about and do something about it. But thank you very much, Doctor. All the best to you and your team and your family. And look, stay safe in the world we live in at the moment. And we'll talk soon, Dr. Philip.
Thanks so much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Yes, that's Dr. Philip Wads, his name is, Senior Lecturer in Criminology at University of New South Wales. Australia needs to challenge male cultures to prevent pack violence. And Dr. Wade was bringing that to the table for conversation. He says, early intervention can be challenged. Toxic masculinity that may have led to the recent unprovoked knife attack on a man in Pyrmont. So that's a conversation we're having to all our brothers out there who are listening, black and white. Be a true warrior. And you don't have to be sick to get better. Anyway, you can better yourself and do that, you know. It's not all about trying to be right. It's about doing what's right is what I like to put across the airways there. But have your say. I'm Jan Armstrong. Add to the conversation. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call the number Jan with the Bully One. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. And live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. 1-800-422-416.
I can see the fading misty haze. You can feel the crystal drops of rain. You can call it mist or just some steam falling right down into the sea. But the ocean rises everywhere. Now it's raining on the sea and land. Summer rain, summer rain, we need pure water, come again. Summer rain, summer rain, we need pure water. In your eyes, coming from the clouds in the sky. Do you think it pure and seems as clear? But one thing that's for sure, that it's real. Summer rain, summer rain, we need your water, come again. Summer rain, summer rain, we need your water. It's a shame. Summer rain, summer rain, summer summer rain. Summer rain. We need pure water.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to catch up a yarn now with Dilly Brother Bono and Paul Gamblin. He's the director of Protect Ningaloo. Beautiful Ningaloo, one of WA's biggest ever conservation communications campaigns launched to protect Eggmouth Gulf. Got him on the line. Paul, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks very much for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, it's about fighting a good fight, and we're talking about precious land, sea, country over there in WA at beautiful Ningaloo. So, give us the lowdown. What's going on, and talk about this campaign, this beautiful fight we got.
Thanks very much. So, Exmouth Gulf Ningaloo is one of those very special places. It's really intact. It's a place where you see all sorts of amazing wildlife, from humpback whales to dugongs and turtles and critically endangered sawfish. It's highly biodiverse. It's got mangroves and seagrass meadows and corals and sponges. It's a really amazing place. And unfortunately, though, a major oil and gas services company called Subsea 7 wants to build a massive pipeline fabrication facility and towing operation down in Exmouth Gulf, and we think it would threaten not only the nature of the area, but also the tourism jobs there, and really be the wrong thing for Exmouth Gulf and Ningaloo. So we're trying to put the case that there are better ways to look after the region, and that there are better ways actually to deploy pipelines as well.
And you've made communications. You've approached Subsea 7 in regards to this progress and not to progress.
Yeah, we've put our case to them directly, and also to governments as well for a couple of years now, and unfortunately they're still progressing with this project, and so we're ramping things up now, really trying to get the word out. And I have to say we've been really fortunate to get massive amounts of support from the community. Tens of thousands of people are supporting us, which also means we can now launch this big communications campaign called Beautiful Ningaloo, which we've just done.
And then when you're talking about mining companies, a majority of them across this globe have got big dollars beside them, behind them. So we're talking about a sort of David and Goliath struggle here. Is that the case? I'll try and get back Paul Gamblin. I just lost him online there. We're having a conversation about him being the director of Protect Ningaloo over in WA, which is WA's biggest ever conservation communication campaigns launched to protect Eggmouth Gulf. And they just got cut off. I'll try and get the brother back and continue that conversation. But look, stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, and going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. 1-800-422-416.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. I was in the middle of a deadly conversation with Paul Gamblin. He's the director of Protect Ningaloo. Got him back on the line. Paul, you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
COVID-19 on the phone, virus happening, but it's all good. The vaccine is, I'll ring you back and we're all good, brother. Look, regarding this fight, when we're talking about it, in regard to the campaigning and to stop the progress of Subsea 7, a multi-million dollar global corporation, it's a case of David and Goliath struggle, is it not?
It is a bit, yeah. I mean, this is a multinational corporation, as you say. We're just some community people and community groups. But, you know, we've done this before. We've been here before. We've been able to gather together people right across the community of all kinds of backgrounds, and with a shared love of the country up there and the beautiful environment. And also, I think people recognizing that there is a better way, you know, that we can actually enjoy these environments, that they can create jobs, but only if we look after them. And so I think this is where we need to try and provide some confidence to the government that, you know, that we've got their back, the community will really support them making the right decision, saying no to this big industrial project, but yes to a much more positive future.
Yes.
And so that's what we're doing. And I have to say, we're getting much more support all the time, but it's becoming quite urgent now. We're getting to the final stages of the decision-making process for this project, the formal process, so that's why we're really trying to get the word out.
Well, when you look at the so-called happenings in the last few years and just recently in regard to the damaging of First Nation, very important caves and paintings, you know, artifacts and what have you, it's devastating to what the mining companies globally are doing to planet Earth and to cultural investments, yes?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think there is this... You see this enormous interest and concern about protecting our heritage, our shared heritage, and I think that's never been more the case. I've been working in conservation for about 20 years now, and I've never seen the level of concern and conversation about it. So it's long overdue,
yes.
But at least it's beginning to happen, and we're hoping that we can, again, you know, just apply some common sense as well.
Exactly.
You know, just to think these things through a little bit more. We're not saying no to jobs, no to economic activity.
Yeah, we're talking about a balance, aren't we?
Let's get smart about it and do it right so that our children and their children will actually be able to enjoy these places and benefit from them, and they won't have to deal with these huge scars on the landscape, which are just unnecessary.
And put a new spin on the so-called phrase, we are all in this together. And as you just pointed out there, you know, for our children and their children, exactly it.
That's right. And Ningaloo and Exmouth Gulf have risen in prominence in the last few years. More and more people are visiting the area. I mean, the place is full at the moment, you know, because the internal borders in WA have come down and people are just flooding into the area. They've had to open up the school oval there to accommodate people. People just would love the place, and I think increasingly want to know that it's going to be looked after, which is really helping the campaign. But we need to build it even stronger, which is why I really appreciate this opportunity to get the word out.
Yeah, no, good to be yarning with you. Thank you very much, my friend. Look, all the best to you and your deadly mob over that way. Look, stay safe, stay focused on the fight, and it's about protecting Mother Earth and Mother Earth of WA in regarding Ningaloo. So thank you very much, my brother. All the best to you. Take care, eh?
Thanks so much, Trevor. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there with Paul Gamblin, his name is. He's the director of Protect Ningaloo, and that's one of WA's biggest ever conservation communication campaigns launched to protect Exmouth Gulf, it's called. And in regards to the so-called multi-billion dollar global corporation, Subsea 7, they're at the table with them, supposedly, and in regard to discussions, they want to go ahead with the so-called mining and gas pipeline and what have you. And the people over there are against it. So heard this story so many times before, haven't we? Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yana with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. To Deadly, give me a call, 1-800-422-416.
Pumping, legs shaking, cries all around. The earth is quaking from stories passed down. Black, yellow, red are the colors I see, defining the culture that's inside of me.
Back, spitting original raps, and perhaps you're gonna take a home, chuck it on and lace to that particular track. And as a matter of fact, what's the essence of culture? If you could just tell me that. As I ran an indigenous story, shed blood, sweat, and tears through my peers for many years, trying to bring much glory to warriors and ancestors. Less spiritual footprints forming, I follow before me, and other systems trying to ignore thee. Colored MC, same time pulling me, sitting up top upon a sideline, trying to adore and suppress the murder in me. So was it respect and courtesy, indebted to the beat. Forget it, don't worry about it, it's not accepted, never was an option for thee. Same, struggling pain, a black brother's gotta get through on a regular day-to-day basis, man. It's just the same old, same old.
Foot stomping, legs shaking, cries all around. The earth is quaking from stories passed down. Black, yellow, red are the colors I see, defining the culture that's inside of me.
This thick in the water, a father once said to his daughter, true story beginning with slaughter. So without the order of water in this day and age, nowadays I think we will remain in a never-ending mind, fraying the pain. Sometimes going insane, but yet still trying to make a generous change for the next generation, eh? Make it go seem more reachable and plain on main. It's a beginning of a new world order to work. When they're forced to grow up in a world filled with dishonor, do dishonor, a kind of not a super kind of not finding one another. So which is what you're running to, want it forever running is what I'm eventually gonna discover. You're running, there's plenty to see. If you're looking for thick, say. Stolen generation was a crazy situation. Now we're back up on the scene, rising to the top, positively elevating through the black smoke with its instruments and music.
Stomping, legs shaking, cries all around. Yep. The earth is quaking from stories black passed smoke down. Black, yellow, red are the colors I see, defining the culture that's inside of me. And legs shaking, cries all around. The earth is quaking from stories passed down. Black, yellow, red are the colors I see, defining the culture that's inside of me. Stomping, legs shaking, cries all around. The earth is quaking from stories passed down. Black, yellow, red are the colors I see, defining the culture that's inside of me. Foot stomping, legs shaking, cries all around. The earth is quaking from stories passed down. Black, yellow, red are the colors I see, defining the culture that's inside of me.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment, and when you're talking about retail shutdown, the question is how will shoppers and retailers adjust in the post-pandemic world? To help us with the answer to that question, we're going to talk to Dr. Eloise Zoppos, Australian Consumer Retail Studies, that's ACRS unit, at Monash Business School on the line. Dr. Eloise, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on the show.
Morning. Thank you very much for coming to the show. And look, thinking of you guys down in Victoria and also New South Wales and second wave and look, not very good. But we're talking about the retail shutdown. Like I said, a different world we live in, and how will the shoppers and retailers adjust in the post-pandemic world?
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you for your thoughts. We do need them down here in Victoria right now. Mm. So my research unit at Monash University looks at research with retail shoppers around Australia. So we looked at the period of January to July of this year to see how people's shopping habits were changing. And we found some interesting things around how long people were spending in shopping centres throughout that time, which gives us some insight into what might happen to retail post the COVID pandemic.
Yes. So when you look at it, I think you would also add to the conversation, thanks to WWW, that has become a superhighway, has it not?
Yeah, that's right. So we've seen e-commerce and online shopping become more and more popular over the last few years, but it's had a complete boom during COVID, and it's understandable why, as people are inside, either through restrictions or through just feeling more comfortable in their own home rather than going out. More and more shoppers across Australia have turned to online shopping than ever before. And we suspect that as people become more confident and more comfortable with doing their shopping online, that post-pandemic, people will continue to do so because they've become comfortable shopping online, they're confident, they know that they're getting what they pay for. So a lot of people might not go back to physical stores as much as they were in the past and might continue to do a lot of their shopping online.
Yeah, so when you look at the shoppers, let's say, a different world and adapting to the different world, then retailers themselves would have to do the same. I mean, they've got a shop front and all their products and produce, what have you. They may have to vary or go online behind the scenes, and if not, go that way forever and a day, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. And we've already seen some retailers adapt. So, for example, here in Victoria, we've seen a number of retailers offer click and collect services where they may not have done that previously. So a lot of retailers like Kmart, Coles, Officeworks are now offering an online click and collect experience where customers can place their order online, but rather than having to wait for it to be delivered, they can click and collect from the store and actually just stay in the car park. They don't even have to go into the store to pick up their order. The staff will bring it back out to them.
Yes.
So we've already seen retailers create initiatives like that, but post-pandemic, we'll see retailers invest more and more in their online presence, but also try and attract people back to stores with great physical retail experiences.
Sure, sure. Well, nothing like walking into a shopping centre, getting your groceries and having a coffee and a donut, so to speak, you know, and catching up with people. But like, it's a different world we're living in, and adaptability is what we're talking about. But it could open up also new business ideas and concepts as well, could it not?
Yeah, that's right. And we've already seen that happening just with the sale of masks in Victoria, for example. We've seen a lot of retailers quickly adapt their product offerings to offer new products that really appeal to people during this time, new specials, new sales, and really trying to understand, well, what do customers want now and how can we better give it to them? So it's a real opportunity for retailers to adapt, and that means it's good news for consumers because it means that they'll have an even better experience because retailers will be listening to them more, adapting, trying new things, which in the end is all good news for consumers.
Well, like I said, we live in a forever changing world, inevitability, but the so-called pandemic, the virus, has virtually hastened up that situation, and adaptability is more, how you say, frequent, and we need to adapt fast, so to speak, you know, in regard to, well, change the engine of growth is what I think as well.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not only retailers that need to adapt. Our research shows that consumers have been really quick to adapt as well. So in terms of things like doing their grocery shopping online, you know, a lot of people still want to do grocery shopping in stores. They want to see the produce. They want to see what they're buying. But people have adapted very quickly. They're now buying online. They're now using click and collect. So this experience with COVID has actually forced retailers and some consumers to try new shopping behaviours yes. and adapt more quickly than they would have otherwise.
And then you look at the bigger companies as well, people like Woolworths and Coles and what have you, and the big outlay they got in regard to their costings and shop fronts and buildings and what have you, staff and air condition and whatever is out there in regard to their costings, they would then downsize or close a few shops as well to balance the act as well.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of retailers really consider their footprint, so how many stores they have, where they're located, how big they are. And even pre-COVID, we did see some retailers like Myer really reconsider the footprint of their stores and how many stores they had and where they were and really start to consolidate that. And that can actually also be good news for consumers because it means that rather than, you know, a big retailer having a number of stores that they have to invest in, they're creating these stores that may be a bit smaller but have more staff, have better stock, have a wide range of products, which is good news for consumers because it means they'll have a better experience when going to these stores.
Well, I think we should be all picking up the phrase, the affirmation, that the Yellow Pages used to run with, hey, let our fingers do the walking, yes?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's definitely our feet and our keyboards doing the talking these days.
Exactly. Look, very good talking with you. Thank you so very much for sharing, Dr. Eloise. All the best to you and your team and your family. Look, stay safe, stay warm, and we'll yarn soon.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, Trevor.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Dr. Eloise Zoppo is her name is. She's Australian Consumer Retail Studies, ACRS unit at Monash Business School. And we're talking about the retail shutdown and how will shoppers and retailers themselves adjust in the post-pandemic world. And that's what it is in regarding the world that we're living in and adaptability, adapting to what's happening. Well, a lot of people don't like changes, but change is inevitable. And when you're talking about online shopping, well, that was going to happen anyway. We're living in the 21st century and the superhighway, so to speak. But the pandemic, COVID-19, has hastened up that process. So adapt to the changes, people. That's what it's all about. And otherwise, you get left behind. Have your say, Yarn Armstrong. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Yarn with the Bullion, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
He looks asleep by Billabong, but he's aware through and through. He is the law of God for all Coloracans. See the glow on the lilies, brighter than the city lights. Songs of birds make me shiver, songs for
daily track there. That's beautiful song, Kangaran, and that's by Ali Mills here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Armstrong, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Murray from WA. Murray, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How are you, mate?
I'm good, my brother. You're calling from WA?
I'm calling from Perth, and I just want to say, look, I work FIFO like so many people here in Perth, and I mentioned to you before that it's an absolute pleasure to work with the, you know, First Australians that I do work with. They are just a magnificent bunch of people. But more than that is that when I'm home, and I do, I generally put on our normal radio program here in Perth is 100.9, the National Indigenous Radio Program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always refreshing to listen to you. I was just listening to the doctor regarding, you know, the post-pandemic world we now live in.
Sure.
I just find that your positivity is really good. There's no snide remarks. There's no trying to be funny. It's refreshing. Mm. And I really
Murray, thank you. Well, thank you very much. You know, like I said, it's sometimes a negative world, but to me, you look at a glass of water, it's half full, you know what I mean? It's not what happens to you in life, how you respond to it. So we've got to bounce back, and together we can make this happen. Black and white, you know, we are all Australians, are we not? You know, that's how I see it, Maury.
Exactly. And sadly, the negativity seems to be the first port of call for a lot of people with social media. You know, they just want to tear people apart. You know, I made a point of when we were all locked down earlier in the year here in Perth, and I walked the dog every morning, and I just made an effort to just wave to people in cars.
Sure.
And I don't live in the best of suburbs, and it was surprising people would sort of look at you and go, oh, what's he waving at?
That's right, what exactly. Then, do I owe him money? Well, what's he waving at me for? Exactly.
And even on site, you know, when I'm at work, I just make a point of just say good day to everyone.
Sure.
Because we're just people, like you just
we
said.
Are.
We're just
we are.
People. And,
well, I think we're on the same page, right? Because I'm that way inclined. I always have a smile on my dial, and I smile and wave at anybody and everybody, you know. But, yeah, they look at you as if they owe you money. But I take it as a numbers game, you know. Some will, some won't. So what is all good? And just keep moving, brother.
Look, you have a great day. I hope the weather's beautiful up there.
It sure is, Murray, yeah. And thank you for your call. Thanks for good words, mate.
Take good, brother. Bye-bye,
take care, mate. Brother. Bye-bye. Murray from WA and a positive input there regarding the show here and my input. So thank you so very much. And yeah, just put a smile on your dial. That's what it's all about, you know. But at the same time, if you've got something to talk about that's concerned you, frustrates you, and upsets you, I'm all ears as well. But if you've got a good yarn as well, upbeat story, you know, maybe you just scored a new job, maybe you just want to go to lotto, which way alone there, I'll wash your car, mow your lawn, or whatever the case may be, you know, if you've got something good happening in your life, want to hear from you. But that's what a beautiful tool is all about regarding this tool, National Talk Black, Murray Radio, and educating people of the world. And, you know, and that's what it's all about, is how we explain who we are as a First Nation people. And we are the 60,000 years First Nation people of this earth, planet Earth, and leading the way. We're just sharing our beautiful culture with mob, you know. And there's sometimes political conversations come to the table, and which upsets the situation, but it's about knowing and understanding where people are coming from, you know. I mean, what's that phrase? How y'all know where I'm at if you ain't been to where I've been? Now do you know where I'm coming from? So take it that way. Add to the conversation. Like this daily brother, Selwyn. Very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. You know, every interesting conversation there, brother. You know, not settling just where you and the bloke there, but I feel like saying, actually dead. You know, because they got an opposition party here, they got foreign action party, they got Jacinda Price. Mm. They're allowed to have opposite to the collective black fellows' opinion. They're not considered negative, brother.
Yes.
They sort of add to the conversation. So why can't we have opposing opinion?
Sure.
Why we're not allowed to contribute to the you know, to the collective goodness of all Australian, like you say, brother, you know?
Yes.
So we should be allowed to have different opinions, brother.
Exactly.
It seems like we're not allowed to, us black fellows, you know, but a lot of really shit me off, brother.
Mm. And, it's all good, brother.
Yeah.
Well, if they say opinions like armpits, we all got them, usually stink.
Yeah, but on that too, brother, like, even though we have single opinions, put the answer, she's one person, Adolf Hitler, they had one and one opinion. When I went to Fiji, I was the only black fellow representative in 1984, the Pacific Writers Week. But you know, Australia, whatever, they never got pissed off on the Carver. Mm. They would have said it collectively represented all the black fellows. When I was a runner, when I was, you know, like when we had chucking for a flagon, I represented all those people when I went to the thing, you know, brother. I have to give what their opinion was, give it to the public, and I carried those opinions, you know.
Yes.
When we're on committees and whatever we are, when we represent Northern Territory Play Football, we represent the state, even though we might be one person. So what we have to say, you know, it's, we do represent collectively, like a Shigaraba man, a Warra Binda man, and, you know, and he says something about some other community. It's all they all, you know, we do carry a lot of weight with us. So, Andrew Boss got an opinion, and it's very useful collectively to all of the black people. Sure. It's a private opinion.
See, yes.
It's not as cheap as, like we like to put it, you know, brother.
Yes.
I think words can have a lot of power, brother.
They
can. I reckon, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Another more common one, brother, Greg Inglis, he's Australian Story, Beating the Blues, on Australian Story tonight. And our brother, on that first call about the narrative, always black fellas, firstly, not just him, but black fellas and violence, you know, in jail, brother. There's never a positive story too as well. I mean, never leave here. Brother, brother, and an AFL player, with a Noongar player that wanted to play in the grand final. I think that's the treasure of Australia, brother. Mm. And one of the, I like to always talk about it. In anthology, two of my poems are in Kevin Gilbert's anthology of Black Australia, brother. But he done life. He done life in Grafton prison. And one time ago, that was a notorious prison. That prison, fact check and correct me. Especially Greg and all the other white folks that listened to this program, pick me up if I'm wrong. But that prison was where Darcy Dugan was and Squeezy Taylor. And them two blokes, they come out of that hero Al Capone when they had the hobby boat. Might have been a weapon of choice, a different sort of gun. But I think it was a Tommy gun in that hero. Mm. And the weapon of choice, the cutthroat razor. And that brother, Kevin Gibbon, he done life in there. And he come out, and a leopard can't say, get fucked, brother. And he had become a playwright. And I think he was on the Aboriginal ice board. And brother Archie was, I think from East Brick, he would have been in Pinkry, the next big jail down there, brother. They come back and, you know, Australian treasure. Brother Kevin, but anyway, brother, he always talked about the Bluestone College. Take a dick at Bluestone College, and he was a real bank vicar. And when I first met him, like, he said that too. He said, brother, where are you from? I said, where I was from. And he talked about another book from where I'm from yep. Palm Island, and he said, oh, yeah, we used to travel in a bullion circus to get on the piss together. Mm. And we looked up straight away, and then it made me mentally comfortable. But anyway, brother, he always, you know, the Kuris say, you know, our brother, Chika, you know, he used to say, you know, the police used to escort him out of the city or the town. But when he died, he had a state funeral, had a police escort, brother. They had a lot of good, you know, this radio program, two of my brothers, it's on NRTV, you know, and Mickey Friday, they were riverbank drinkers, and they helped get this radio off the show, brother. The blocks of God, Billen and Care there, brother. Uncle Raymond Foster, he got the weird, and there's a lot of good people that do a lot of good. Debbie Kilroy, he done time. I don't know, Debbie and Kevin Gilbert, they just not necessarily served their sentence. They made their sentence, saved them. They educated them while they were in jail. There's a lot of good black fellows too, brother. They let the dust change its spot, brother. Thank you very much.
Exactly, my brother. No, thank you for your yarn.
Right
there, brother. That's someone there having his say and all different topics there, but talking about you know, people who've gone to prison come out as a success as well, you know, like it changes their life, you know what I mean? And the old phrase, not what happens to you in life, is how you respond to it. Some people have gone to prison, come out and became lawyers or became business people, or whatever case may be, changed their life around, became you know, a good husband, a good wife, whatever case may be. So it's about, journey of life. That's what it's all about. And the journey here is National Talk Black. You mob can have your say, but you may have to do that tomorrow, because Murray going to sign off here with this deadly program for today. National Talk Black is a one-hour program, and we can come to you live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBC. CBN, Bummer Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, but a voice for our people, so do utilise it. Call us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. 045-714-0550 is a text number. Otherwise, our Facebook page is BBM 987 FM. And you can check out our Facebook page, see all our photos and our comments and all the podcasters and our daily yarns there. But do what Murray does from WA, walks around, waves at people. So wave, spread the love, that's what it's all about. And if they don't wave back, then that's all good. You just move on, that's what it's all about. So have your say, yarn up strong tomorrow, you mob. Take care, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in COVID-19, you mob. Abide by the rules, that's the only vaccine we got. So do utilise it.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Determination that must become till then we won't see no change. We need my people to take the reins, put ourselves in position of choice. Our peeps, our land, our voice. Ancient laws through our tribes and clans. 60,000 years, it still stands. We need change, open up your heart. Time to listen to the statement, dog.